Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, go to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. As I was preparing a message for this morning, I wrestled and I fought, and I didn't think this was the message, in my personal opinion, was the right one, because I thought it was too basic, but the Lord won, amen. So Jonah chapter 3 this morning, just a little, if I titled this message, is Second Chances. We all love second chances, including myself, but like I told morning service, you know, if it comes to third chance, fourth chance, fifth chance, then there's something wrong with you, between you and the Lord. Second chance, I believe that everybody messes up, and that, you know, a second chance, everybody should get a second chance at whatever it is that they messed up on. Second chance, sometimes we got to put away our pride a little bit and be able to say, God, I messed up and I need a second chance. But, you know, going, sitting here, I prayed and I didn't sleep a whole lot, and please forgive me of my voice and everything, because I wish the weather would make up its mind between cold and hot, and one day I can wear flip-flops and a t-shirt to the next day wearing a sweatshirt and sweatpants and freezing half to death. But, you know, the weather change and all that kind of killed me, and I was half tempted to text Preacher last night and say, Preacher, I don't know if I'm going to be able to show up in the morning, because I'm literally, I feel like my head's about to explode from all the pressure. But, you know, I think it was just me saying, God, I don't want to preach this. This, to me, again, it's basic, because everybody knows everything about Jonah. You know, Jonah and the fish and this and this. But, you know, as I was, we did a study in our Wednesday night for the teens of Jonah. And, you know, as I was sitting there going through Jonah again, I just love the book of Jonah. But something caught my attention. If you could stand and of honoring God's word, we're going to read one verse. I'm pretty sure it's on the screen. Something pretty simple this morning, but something caught my eye. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, and it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful morning. I thank you for everyone that's here, and God, I'm grateful for this opportunity just to open up your word and just that you'd speak through me. And Lord, that you'd put all my nerves and just allow me just to speak clearly. And Lord, that you'd hide me behind your cross. And Lord, that someone would get something out of this message, as I know they will. Lord, we just thank you and we praise your name. Pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. But second chances, we all love second chances, including my son. And I told the morning service this, is that, you know, I was so excited. I hate bubbles, but, you know, I know my son and daughter love bubbles. So I got them some bubble guns, not bubble gum, bubble guns. I kept saying bubble gum this morning, because Braxton's getting into bubble gum. But bubble guns, and I was so excited. I said, oh, we're going to play with these after I get at home yesterday after a little bit of side work, and I'm doing my side work, and my wife Megan texts me and says, well, no bubble guns today. And I was like, darn. Inside of me was kind of, you know, upset, because I was excited, you know, just because of the kid that I am. But, you know, I wanted to play with them a little bit too, even though I got them for my kids. And so I get home from side work, and I said, well, I know bubble guns. And she says, well, they earned them back. And I said, praise God, hallelujah, because I want to play with these too. And so I said, well, what happened? Was he bad? Because he's not necessarily been a bad kid. He's been a typical three-year-old, you know, disobeying just like we do, talking back just like we do. And, you know, he just hasn't been, you know, at our expectations. And he got in our bedroom yesterday after Megan says, you know, time to get out. And he got into some beads. And, you know, Megan made some wristbands or bracelets or whatever for Christmas for my mom and my mother-in-law and her sister. And they were pretty cool. If you want some, you can talk to her after service. But she has thousands of them. But Braxton and, you know, my daughter, Maisley, you know, she doesn't do anything wrong. But they got into this bag of thousands of beads and dumped them out, I suppose, all over our bedroom floor. And I guess my wife, she said she was mad. She said, he didn't even help me clean them up. And I kind of just laughed a little bit, and I said, well, I guess it is what it is. At that point, you didn't make them, you just asked them, and he didn't ask back, so it is what it is. Well, I guess when she was yelling at him to get out, get out, he accidentally tripped over the bag and knocked all those beads back over. But we all love second chances. Braxton had a second chance, and he was a good son, and he went to the store, and he obeyed mom, and went to the park and had fun at the park and obeyed mom. And when mom said it was time to go, he got up and he said, yes, mom. And so mama gave him the second opportunity. We can have bubble guns. And, you know, we sit there and we think of our own life as we love second chances. When God says, hey, you messed up, but let's try this again. Let me repeat myself and say, hey, let's do this again. You think of Jonah going to the very beginning of chapter 1, if you've ever read Jonah, God told Jonah one thing, go to Nineveh. We all know the story. He says pretty much, no, I'm not going, and he goes the opposite direction. But then he gives them here, we see here, a second chance. You know, number one, or I guess not number one yet, but number one of my summary here is the disobedience of God's people. Since the Garden of Eden, God's creation has established an almost perfect track record of disobeying. You know, you think of your own life. When I was growing up, and my mom's here this morning, she can attest to this, is that, you know, when I got in trouble, I got a beating. If I said why, I got a beating. If I didn't, not all the time, but most of the time, didn't say yes, ma'am, or no, sir, I would, you know, got yelled at. If I would, you know, talked with food in my mouth, I would got yelled at. No, but they told me over and over and over and over, hey, quit talking with food in your mouth. Hey, quit telling me no. Hey, you need to start saying yes, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. And guess what? I still disobeyed. You know, you think of your own personal life of how much you actually disobey. You know, the disobedience of Jonah in the story is similar to all the times we have chosen to disobey. It was deliberate. In chapter 3:1, again, we see there that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. You know, no doubt we disobey often with both, if I can speak, both sins of omission and sins of commission. But deliberate disobedience is a serious offense. His sin was a blatantly deliberate that he purchased a fare on a ship going in the opposite direction. How often do you say, yes, I'm going to do this, and then once you get directions of doing it and you say, wow, that's actually really hard and I don't want to do it, you say, eh, and you're kind of slowly getting out of it. You know, we see, you know, God told Jonah, as you go to verse 2, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. He says, hey, go there and preach. But we know that before he says, hey, I can't do it. He ran, and obviously he went to the opposite direction. But it was detrimental. Jonah's disobedience was detrimental in many ways. It was detrimental to the, again, there's, I say this word two ways, but the mariners, verse 5, those around us will be affected by our acts of disobedience. So you see there in verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on a sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. You know, it was detrimental to the ministry, according to verse 6, call upon thy God. It was detrimental to the message, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord. And then it was detrimental to the moral in verse 10, why hast thou done this? It was demeaning. I looked up the word demeaning and causing someone to lose their dignity and the respect of others. You know, you think about, you know, if you're, we talked about it this morning, a good leader, you know, a lot of people are going to look up to you. A lot of people are going to follow you. But if you're demeaning it, imagine, you know, nobody's going to follow you. They're going to look at you all funny. They're going to say, I don't want to be near you. But imagine the dignity of being vomited out. I'm going to guess that there, those 3 days in the Wells fish whatever you believe, belly had a serious adverse effect on Jonah's appearance. Imagine being in the fish's belly for 3 days and how nasty you look, how smelly you look, and you think of that it's going to be you're going to lose your dignity over it because of how nasty and gross and, you know, smelling he was. But you see, what do you think he looked like walking into Nineveh after that appearance? No, you sit there and you think of, if you just listen the first time and just say, yes, Lord, the first time, and you don't really need a second chance, imagine how much your life would be different. You know, you sit there and you think about, first chances. Again, we all fell at first chances, I feel like, including myself. But again, second chances, the Lord gives us all a second chance. You know, we sit here and think, and we'll go through it a little bit of this sermon is that, you know, thank God that he's a patient and loving God. You know, he wasn't just patient and loving to Jonah, but he was patient and loving to each one of us. And so how demeaning was it to Peter to be cursing around the fire? You know, he wasn't much of a, you know, we see that, you know, Peter, he's a, supposed to be a popular person. He's supposed to be a leader. He's supposed to be, but you see him cursing around the fire. And then you go to John 21:7, says, Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked and did cast himself into the sea. You know, how demeaning was it for Peter to be fishing without clothes on? And I sit here and I laugh about this. In the first place, why would you be fishing without clothes? It's kind of weird. But again, you're supposed to be a leader. You're supposed to be a person that can, allow people to follow you. But yet, your mouth is disgusting. You're doing stuff that, you know, we don't think about. You're supposed to have clothes on. And you sit there and you think about, you know, the way you smell. You know, I guarantee you, after I get done preaching and I take my coat off, some of you guys probably don't want to be around me because I'm sweating like a pig up here. And you're going to say, Brandon, you really stink. And I'm going to say, yes, I know. But you imagine that, you know, someone that follows you, someone that's going to be a leader, someone that's going to, you know, this wasn't the last part here that Peter had. He had chances, but you sit there and you think of, you know, the way you look, the way you smell, the way you present yourself, that's going to be a leader. You know, as you go through life, and like I tell the teens, is it drives me nuts if this is you, don't think I don't like you, don't think I hate you, don't think of anything, but it drives me nuts when I see people walk into a Walmart, Meijer, which I personally like, in their pajamas and a sweatshirt and a pair of Crocs. It drives me bonkers. Just dress in some clothes that actually present yourself in the person that you're supposed to be. But you see that, again, Peter, he didn't present himself the right way. He kind of made himself look like a fool. You sit there and you see that, you know, he was fishing and then he cast himself into the sea. You know, my favorite part here is, number two, is the degree of God's patience. The patience of God in Jonah 3:1 is amazing. You know, going from when church first started, and preacher says, hey, I need a children's pastor, and you're the guy. And I said, oh, boy, I ain't got no kids of my own. I don't have the greatest patience. You can ask my mom. You can ask my wife. You can ask my dad. You can ask friends around me. Is I don't have the greatest patience, and every time, you know, someone irritated me, it was like I'm ready to explode. You know, being the children's pastor, it helped me get patience, especially to have kids, and, you know, the biggest word I can't stand, and now I understand why my parents couldn't handle it, is, why, Mommy? Why, Daddy? Braxton, clean up your toys. Why? And now Maisley does it, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm ready to explode. But imagine God putting up with our craziness day in and day out because we say, why? Why do I got to do this? Why do I got to do this? Why do I got to do that? Well, you know, the thing that drives me nuts is I come home sometimes and Braxton throws his toys everywhere and I say, Braxton, clean up your toys. And he looks at it and he goes, why? And he'll go over and then my dad has got him a remote control car and he'll pick up his remote control car and his whatever controller and he'll carry it back over. And he goes, I did it, Dad. I'm done. Woo, boy. You ain't done, son. No, we do the same thing with God. We say, God, I did it. You know, when God says, hey, go tell that person about me, we say, you go tell the person, well, here's a track. This is everything you need to know about God. No, God gave you a mouth, a tongue, and some teeth, and you know, some air to breathe and to be able to talk. Everybody in here that I know, besides the babies, can speak English and can say that, hey, God loved you so much that he sent his son down the cross for you. But the thing is, we say, why? You know, what if God had just chosen to leave Jonah in the well and go another route? You know, I sit here and I think about that, you know, the times I messed up in my life, the things that I don't regret anything because God grew me out of it and I'm better now than what I was before, praise God. But the thing is, I sit here and I think, what if God left me and just says, if you ain't listening, then I'm just going to, but imagine that. You know, God didn't just do all this stuff on accident. He didn't do all this stuff just because there's a reasoning for it. And you sit here and you think that, you know, as you read God's word, out of all the people that messed up, out of all the people that turned their backs, and God says, I still love you. You know, if we put our pride to the side and say, God, I'm going to put this to the side and please forgive me of what I've done and, you know, what I continue to do and say, God, you know, I need that second chance. That second chance is important. You know, the first life you live, and you say, well, the first life, what do you mean? The life that you lived before you got saved. You know, God's given you a chance to say, I'm the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and that, you know, one day when you die, you either got two places to go, and it's either glory or hell. And hopefully one day, when you do die, it's not hell, it's glory. But you see there that, imagine, people say they pray, people say, oh, I talk to the Lord every night. But do you have that personal relationship? Do you have that relationship where you only need God when you're having troubles? You know, we see here that Jonah's going through all this trouble because he's saying, why God, why God? And then he says, that's too hard. You know, as you sit here and you think that, you know, life is hard, and I told the morning service, this is that when you're saved, it doesn't get much easier. As you go and you read through the Bible, you see that when the people that turned to God, the people that got serious, it got a little hard. There's people that died because they love God so much. But we can't even give up a little bit of social media or a little bit of music or a little bit of something just to say, God, I want to grow in you, but I got this little thing bothering me. I got this video that I can't get away from. I got this sin that I can't just get away. Well, you know what? Just because you haven't asked God to get rid of it. Amen. And you sit here and you think that, it doesn't say it, but I don't think Jonah, you know, he's just, why? How often do you say why? I sit here and I, you know, I ask Megan, when she asked me to do something, I say, why? Well, why do we need this decoration in this bathroom? It's a bathroom. Well, why do we need this basket in here? It's just, you know, it's there for a reason. You know, it holds our Q-tips and our, you know, all different little things. It's pretty handy. But you sit there and you think of, you know, God has a reason. But I thought of these verses in Luke 19, 39 and 40. You can turn there, you can write them down for later, but Luke 19, 39 and 40, and it says, and some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Verse 40, and he said it, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Jesus told the Pharisees that the disciples didn't spake up, that he would let the stones take their place. Sometimes I wonder why God doesn't. You know, God wouldn't have told the rocks twice like he tells us. And then you notice in Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, going back a chapter in our main text, God spoke to the fish one time. He didn't say two, he didn't say three, he didn't say four. He said, one time! But here we are, questioning God. Why do we need to go tell others about Christ? Why can I not wear this? Why do I need to present myself better than what I don't really care about my body, my choice, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not your body, it's God's body. You know, when you're when you say I'm saved and I accept Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, guess what? The Holy Temple is in you. You know, the thing is that, you know, when people say it's my body, my choice, in all reality, if you're saved, you know, there's an issue. So I think you need to start talking to God. You know, no question about it, God is patient and long-suffering. Thank God his mercies are new every day. You know, Jonah actually disobeyed in chapter 1 because he knew God was merciful. Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, chapter above our word, the text is, it says, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. To me, you know, if we know, obviously God's word tells us that he's long-suffering, that he's a loving God, then why don't we actually take it a little bit seriously? You know, we sit there and we think that, you know what? How many people are patient? Raise your hands. Go ahead. Nobody? Yeah. You know, not a lot of people are patient. And you say, well, I'm a prayer for patience. I wish you would. Turn to Exodus 34. Exodus 34, we're going to read the first 7 verses here, but I'm going to focus on just 2. But you know what? We're just going to read 6 and 7. I lied. We're going to read 6 and 7. Exodus 34. I'm ahead of myself. 34, sorry. 6 and 7. Exodus 34, 6, 7. It says, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord. The Lord God is what? Merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercies for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. I want to read verse 6, but I want everybody to read it together so they know. I don't think everybody's hearing me here. You ready? And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. You know, never take God for granted there. You know, it already says that, you know, in this text here, that he's long-suffering, but we take it for granted. We say, oh, I know God's going to forgive me anyway, so I'm going to mess up anyway. You know, I always sit here and I think, I love this phrase, and as I sit here and I just think upon it is, you know, praise God that he loved me so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for my sin. And surely enough that, you know, when I heard that, I said, I got to get saved. And when I got saved, the famous quote here is that, you know, when you're saved, you're still going to sin, but you're surely going to still sin less. You know, the thing is that if you 100% believe that, then why are we messing around with God? You know, Peter and John 21, after going fishing and failing in an epic way, being given the task by the Lord Jesus Christ to feed my sheep. Imagine allowing Peter to be the one to lead the early church with his track record of failures. It's a hard thing to think about. You know, somebody in Sunday school this morning asked, well, how can I follow somebody that might have killed somebody? And, you know, the thing is that, you know, you still got to respect them. But the thing is, it's still not right. Even though that Peter did all these things, but we still got to respect him. Number 3 this morning, on the last point, the termination of God's purpose. In Isaiah 55:11, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God saved Paul, and the whole time he had been kicking against the pricks. God wanted Paul just like God wanted Jonah. You know, but why? Why, though? It was much bigger than Jonah. There were hundreds of thousands of people in Nineveh that were about to be destroyed, but God's purpose was much greater than Jonah. God's purpose for Paul was much greater than Paul. God revealed this purpose to Brother Ananias in Acts 9, verse 15 and 16. It says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Like I said earlier, once you're saved, it doesn't get easier. It only gets harder. You think of all these people that died, got their heads chopped off, they got hung because they love Christ so much that they didn't play around. But there's too many people, Christians, that are playing around with Christ. There's too many people that says, "Oh my God, long suffering, and he's loving, and he's patient, and so I'm going to do whatever I want." Wrong. But, you know, you sit there and you think through this whole story of Jonah. He gave him a second chance. Ask yourself this. Do you need a second chance this morning? Have you been living the life that haven't been the greatest of life because you've been messing around with God so much that you said, "I can do whatever I want because it's my choice, my body, and you know, I don't care what anybody else thinks besides me, myself, and I. Or do you actually care what God thinks about you, and you're just going to say, "Yes, Lord," and not just give him just half of you, but you're going to give him all of you so you can go in and do what the Lord tells you to do? You know, you sit there and you think about, you know, good old Jonah. With Nineveh, you think Nineveh, yeah, there's a lot of people, thousands of people. Well, think of the surrounding areas around us. There's thousands of people that we're too afraid to witness to. We're too afraid to just share the gospel to. We're afraid just to knock on doors because we're afraid of what people are going to think about us. Because we're just, you know, our hearts can't take it. Or my body can't take it because people call me a Jesus freak. And it's just not fair and that just hurt my feelings. Praise the Lord that I'm a Jesus freak. Amen. You know, you sit there and you think that there's all these towns, and obviously we can't be the only ones that reach them. And we're not the only ones that, just us pastors are not the only ones that can go out and win souls. Praise God that it grow on Thursday night. Two souls got saved, and it was a good start to our first grow of the year. Amen. But again, that doesn't end there. We got to stop saying why and just do. When God gives you a chance, just do it. When you're at the gas station and God says, "Hey, hand a tract to that person," don't sit there and just, you know, be afraid. Be bold about it. God says, "Be unashamed of the gospel," according to Romans 1:16. You know, have you messed up? Have you stumbled and fallen? Have you disobeyed and discovered the misery of being out of God's will? God can forgive and God can restore. Praise the Lord. You know, we're all going to fall. We're all going to fail at times. But you don't have to continuously do it. You know, you fall, the famous quote, I don't even know what movie it's off of, but when you fall down, you just dust your knees off and you get back up and keep fighting. If I can have eyes closed, head bowed. You know, as I, again, fought this message, didn't sleep a whole lot last night. One, just because I was dying of my allergies and whatever I got with the weather. But I'm glad that the Lord has his way. Because this message, it spoke to me, it helped me. Maybe there's somebody in this room this morning that says, "This helped me." And praise the Lord that it did. But there's also someone that could be in this room that says, "I need that second chance. I need that second chance because I don't know who Christ is. I never accepted him as my personal Lord and Savior." And you know, the cool thing is that God loves everybody. He doesn't just, you know, put everybody out. He gives everybody an opportunity. And that opportunity is, you know, I wouldn't say simple, but it's easy. And the thing is you got to recognize your condition. You got to know that You know, we've all sinned. We've all done something stupid. We all broke one of the Ten Commandments. For thy, you know, shall not kill. You should not steal. You should honor thy father and mother, and so on and so forth. If you hit your brother, you hit your sister. We've all sinned. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. But we got to realize the penalty for sin, and that's death. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. But God loved you, and he died for you. And Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, don't forget that, sinners, that Christ died for us. And the very last thing here is that Jesus invites you to be saved today. Romans 10:13, for whosoever, the key word there is whosoever, that's anybody, that's not just a certain individual, that's everybody, shall call upon him, the Lord shall be saved. And if there's anyone in here this morning that says, I know I sinned, and I know I need the Lord in my heart, I need him in my life, and I want to accept him this morning, if I could just have you just raise your hand, starting from my left, your right, just look up to me or raise your hand. Now on my right, your left. Just raise your hand, look at me. Amen. Lord, I just thank you for this wonderful morning. Lord, I again thank you for this opportunity just to open up your word freely. Lord, I just ask that, again, I thank you for putting this on my heart, and Lord, that someone else needed it as well as I did. Lord, I ask that you just be with the one that might not be saved in here today. Lord, that they can just come to you before it's certainly too late. Lord, we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. You come to the altar as the Lord dealt.